It's about 2,000 miles from Berkeley, California, to the Bayou country of Louisiana. But the geographic distance is nothing compared to the political distance between the liberal California college town and the red state politics of a Tea Party stronghold.
Our next guest spent years working to bridge that gap. As a sociologist from Berkeley, she wanted to get beyond the easy stereotypes and understand what drives people from a low-income and working-class community to embrace conservative politics. She says her findings give insight to the rise of Donald Trump and maybe toward finding political common ground.
Arlie Russell-Hochschild joins us now. She's Professor Emerita of Sociology at the University of California, Berkeley. Her latest book is Strangers in Their Own Land, Anger and Mourning on the American Right. Arlie, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure, Rob.
Well, what made you want to get this up-close look at people in Louisiana on the right side of American politics?
I wanted to dive into the red state paradox. How could it be that the poorest states, the states with the worst education, the worst health, the lowest life expectancy, were the ones that received the most federal money, but were more suspicious and negative about the federal government? That's kind of the whole red state paradox. And I wanted to go to the center of that, and that's actually Louisiana, which this year is now the poorest state, and it's 44% of its state budget comes from the federal government, and it's Trump country. They're going to be Trump won the primary, and it's heavily Tea Party. So it seemed like an exaggeration of this thing I didn't understand, you know. And so I spent 5 years actually getting to know some extraordinary people. It's been the funnest research I've ever done, and I've tried to cross an empathy bridge into the experience of people that I'm very pleased to have met, but with whom I have great political differences.
And you write that I think a lot of times it's easy to stereotype people from the other side of the political fence, whichever side you're on. You wanted to get into what you call the deep story of how people look at politics. Can you talk about what that means?
Yes. I hung out with people. I asked them where they were born and where they could we go to their school. You know, where did they sit at what desk in the school schoolroom? Where were their parents buried? You know, where their kids going to school? Just kind of really get into things, and I did things with them and went fishing and to gumbo cook-offs and fish fries. And through all that listening, and I listened with my own alarm system off. You know how you do. You just kind of really, hey, the purpose of this is to get what the other person's really feeling. And what it came down to was this deep story. It's, if you were to tell it as a metaphor, it would be like this. You're waiting in line, as in a pilgrimage, sort of leading up to a point at the top of the hill where you can find the American dream, and you feel very deserving. You have worked your butt off, and you're waiting in line for this American dream, and you notice suddenly that somebody's butting in front. Who is that? Well, it's an affirmative action black, or it's an affirmative who's getting access to jobs previously denied to blacks, or a woman, a career-minded woman who affirmative action is trying to get access to a job that was formerly reserved for men, and then migrants and immigrants and refugees. All these people seem to be getting ahead of you in line. The line is now moving backwards. And then you see someone to the side of it. That would be Barack Obama, who seems to be waving to the people cutting in line in cahoots with him. And then you feel like, hey, the government isn't helping me, it's helping them. And in fact, is the government a whole marginalization machine? You know, shouldn't we just reduce that if that's what it is? And then finally, you see somebody ahead of you in line who's turning around saying, oh, you white cracker, you redneck, you're uneducated, ignorant, Southern, and you feel insulted for all the pain of first trying to get moved forward in line and then being pushed back. That is the deep story. I went back to my people with it, and they said, yeah, that's it. Or then they changed it and said, yeah, and we're paying taxes to the people who are cutting in line. Or then we got out of line, started our own line. They would modify the story. But I think all of us, actually, underneath the talk of policies and values, have a deep story. I mean, progressives have theirs, and right-wingers have theirs. And what we have to do is really grok what that feels like. A deep story, I should say, has judgments taken out and facts taken out. It's just how reality feels. And if we can sensitize ourselves to the deep story, the people across the way, I think then we can open out conversations about crossover issues and begin to heal this divide.
Talking to Arlie Russell-Hochschild. She is the author of the new book, Strangers in Their Own Land, looking at the political divide in this country. She came from blue state Berkeley, California, to red state Bayou, Louisiana. And Arlie, it seems really easy to not hear that deep story. And when you hear people on the left talking about people on the right and vice versa, they're saying things that make perfect sense to themselves and either no sense or alienating to the people on the other side. Is that where our political discourse mostly is these days?
I think so. And it's really time to turn it around and correct our pictures of the other side. I think we're all inside a giant paradox. If you look at the public square, there's enormous acrimony and hostility. But then you go home and you talk to your best friend and the person next door, and there's perfect harmony and agreement. You know, so publicly, people are at each other's throats. Privately, we live in enclaves, geographic enclaves, electronic enclaves, media enclaves. You know, some people are watching Fox News. Other people are watching MSNBC. And so we've got to get out of our enclaves, make that act, make that commitment to do that. Mind open, alarm system off, and really get to know people on the other side.
I want to play. I want to play an example of this in action. Hillary Clinton, this came out in the news this weekend, talking about Donald Trump supporters. I'm going to play a clip. This actually has two bits of the speech. Here it is.
Be grossly generalistic. You can put half of Trump's supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables. Right? The racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, you name it. But that other basket of people are people who feel the government has let them down. The economy has let them down. Nobody cares about them.
So, I mean, different people have reacted to this differently. Liberal, progressive supporters of Hillary Clinton is saying, hey, she's arguing against the idea that all Donald Trump supporters are racist, xenophobic, etc. The other half of the country, I think, is hearing this, but you just called a big portion of Donald Trump supporters racist, xenophobic, etc.
I know. It's a real mistake. And to her credit, she quickly walked it back. But I'd like to invite her to Lake Charles, Louisiana, to Longville, to DeRidder, to Bayou Corn Sinkhole, as it's now called, where she would find Trump supporters. But they are people with very complex objections to things he does, but who fit her second description, that is, of people who don't feel heard, who feel marginalized demographically, culturally, economically, and even in age, because these are older whites. And it adds up to a kind of a tipping point after which they feel like strangers in their own land and looking for a way to get out of that state, which they are in mourning about, I believe.
We're talking to sociologist Arlie Russell Hochschild. Her new book is Strangers in Their Own Land, Anger and Mourning on the American Right. She's sharing her story of her work as a sociologist from one of the most liberal parts of the United States, getting to know people in one of the most conservative areas.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. If you're a conservative, do you think you're unfairly stereotyped by liberals? And if you're a liberal, same question about conservative views of you and your politics. Are you able to find common ground with people on different sides of the partisan divide? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're talking to Arlie Russell Hochschild. She is a sociologist, and her latest book is called Strangers in Their Own Land, Anger and Mourning on the American Right. And she's sharing her experience as a blue state sociologist talking to Tea Party supporters in red state America.
You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you think we're too quick to stereotype people on the other side of the political spectrum? Have you been able to maintain, even build, friendships with people who have different political values than your own? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Arlie, before we get to our callers, let's talk about the people in Louisiana you worked with and the rise of Donald Trump. A lot of people, especially on the left, are heavily fact-checking Donald Trump, trying to point out misstatements of fact. In a way, it seems like that doesn't matter. He's speaking to feelings, not facts. With people.
I think that's right. That's why we have to go to feelings and back up and look at what experience has led them to be. That's I think, the first order of business. Then we can set down a pathway, an emotional pathway of mutual respect, and look at the crossover issues, which I think there are a lot of things that we would agree on. There, and I should say that a lot of members of the Tea Party had a lot of reservations about Trump, too. I mean, he's going to bring on big government if he's going to add 90,000 troops. We're going to have to pay for that. They were very concerned about the debt. Likely the debt will go up. So they didn't like that part of it at all. And others were offended that, you know, he seemed to be ridiculing the disabled and blacks, and they didn't like that. So what this means is that, not that they love all of Donald Trump, but that they don't feel spoken to by anybody else.
Let's go to our callers now. We've got John on the line in Grand Rapids. John, hi.
Yeah, it's just hard for me to believe that a lot of this isn't related to race. When the economy turned bad, people turned on each other. And I've experienced this personally as a public employee. And I've heard a lot of negative comments about my choices and my occupation and how I'm overpaid, etc. And I think there's a lot of people, when the economy went sour, turned on people.
John, thanks for the call. So there is resentment. Some of it may be fair, but some of it maybe not, Arlie.
Oh, a lot of it is not. An excellent point, John. Actually, at the end of my book, I have an appendix, which is kind of a fact checker, and it looks at wages and benefits of public and private employees, and finds that public employees, given the level of education that they have and experience, are not more highly paid than private. So, see, at the end of this, if we set down the pathway and really get to a moment of mutual respect, we can begin to look at the facts in a dispassionate way and see that they're wrong to be prejudiced against you.
John, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We'll go now to John in Beloit. John, hi.
Well, hello, and thank you for having me. I think she's a little bit off. I think that more or less, I think America's middle in general, I think, holds actually slightly to the right. I think that in America, I think most of us, I'm a Republican, a union member also, so I mean, I kind of fall on both sides of the line, but I think we're more disgruntled about the Congress, the Senate, and the president. It has, I mean, everybody can blame Barack Obama as the president. Okay, I'll give you that. But I think a lot of it over the last 30 years, corporations have had all of the access and gotten all of the rulings. And basically, everybody says, well, the great almighty dollar. Well, if you really looked at things, the Congress and everybody has always turned and looked at the profitability and marginability. And then you have the great issues in 2008 where everything fell down. And yet, what do? They bailed everybody at the top out. But they didn't bail out anybody at the bottom. I mean, if in America, think about this. The best thing Americans could do would everybody go file bankruptcy, just like the big banks did. And then guess what? We don't have to worry about our debt just like they didn't. And things like that. And so you hear that hostility, I'm sure, in my voice. But it's real because they keep giving to all these people because they have big dollars to contribute to campaigns.
John, I want to cut in and give our guest a chance to respond. Thank you very much for calling. I mean, what John is saying, Congress, the president, too cozy with big, powerful elite interests, bail them out first. You could hear that from a Tea Party member, I think, from Donald Trump, from Bernie Sanders, from Hillary Clinton. And you could hear it from
Bernie Sanders.
And yes. From Occupy Wall Street, for that matter.
That's right. Hi, John, number two. You have more than you might think in common with progressives who would agree with everything you have said. And who... So think about that. Think about that. You sound like Bernie Sanders. And so... did a lot of the Tea Party people that I talked to. They would agree with you also. And one man, I was out fishing with him, big Tea Party person who will vote Trump, kind of said, you know, we need to get money out of politics. And I thought, wow, that is a major crossover issue. Let's do it.
John, thanks a lot for that call. We are talking to Arlie Russell-Hochschild. Her new book is Strangers in Their Own Land, Anger and Mourning on the American Right. Back to our callers now with Dan and Oshkosh. Dan, hi.
Hi, yeah, great topic, great guest. And I'm a liberal, but I monitor the right-wing media, the alt-right media. And, boy, I tell you, I get... tired and actually get shocked by the way that they defined who liberals and progressives are, because many times they couldn't be further from the truth. But in order to perpetuate their little radio programs, they use indifference, intolerance, anger, and hatred, and that's the wedge that they keep driving between left and right, progressive, liberal, Democrat, Republican, and all just to, you know, because they're doing corporate media to perpetuate their little radio programs. And I just hope people will pay closer attention as to where they are getting their information.
Dan, thanks for the call. So Dan pointing the finger at conservative media, online, radio, and so forth. Arlie, in creating wedge issues that make our partisan divide bigger.
Right, and that do run their programs. That's why I think we need people-to-people democracy. We need to get out of our enclaves and make a real effort to encounter personally people that have different beliefs. If each of us did it just once, you know, and really had a friendship, really made a relationship, but everyone on both sides did it, I think we could heal this divide and do an end run around the Rush Limbaughs and other right-wing commentators.
Dan, thanks for the call. Time for one more call from Jake in Milwaukee. Jake, hi.
Yeah, I'm a progressive, and to be honest, I don't want to find any common ground with the racists, sexists, and homophobes. You know, chance of those people getting in power in this state, they try to marginalize Democratic voters, become autocrats, and I just don't want to. Those people are the past in this country, and it's still their country too, but they don't want other people to have power or have what they've had.
Jake, thanks for the call. Arlie, what would you say to somebody like Jake?
Jake, I appreciate your comments, but I have to disagree. I think we can't afford the luxury of standing apart from one another. And especially if you're a progressive, you have to have noticed that progressives are losing ground, and we're very close to this is a very close election, and the very people that you don't want to get to know are driving this. I think the shoe is on the progressive foot to see that while Democrats claim to put forward the interests of blue-collar America, blue-collar America is turning right, and we can't afford to turn our back on that. And these aren't all evil racists either.
Arlie, very briefly, I mean, do you think there's a forum? Do we have a public square where people can come together from both sides, just in 15 seconds or so?
Yes, there is. It's called Living Room Conversations. And there's a person named Joan Blades, who is a co-founder of MoveOn.org and Moms Rising. And she's getting left and right together in living rooms. And you can Google it, and that's a good place to start.
And that's a good place to leave it. Thanks to Arlie Russell-Hochschild. Her new book is Strangers in Their Own Land, Anger and Mourning on the American Right.